Tonight, I have a mind to speak some to you from Psalm 23. You know, sometimes familiarity can breed complacency. We think, well, Psalm 23, we've been reading that, hearing that, thinking about that all our lifetime. But, beloved, familiarity should not cause us to take for granted the wonderful lessons that are contained in the scriptures that we are very familiar with. Tonight, as we look at Psalm 23, I want to mention the fact that this psalm deals with life's problems and dangers. It's not just a psalm to be quoted at the graveside of a loved one or read at night at bedtime. This psalm really addresses the hardships, the trials, the difficulties of life. And the psalmist opens the psalm by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. He takes full responsibility for us. He's our shepherd. A shepherd who cares for natural sheep takes full responsibility for those sheep. He watches over them. He sees to it that they get fed and nourished. If they get out of the way, he disciplines them. But he takes responsibility for them. We ought to be comforted tonight to think that the God of heaven and earth has taken responsibility for us. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. We're not on our own. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now the fact that he would refer to us, in a sense, as sheep, would not be complimentary to the natural man, because sheep, by nature, are very dumb animals. They are defenseless. They are frail. They cannot fight. They can't defend themselves. So from a natural standpoint, it would not be complimentary to think of us as sheep. Have you ever known of a sports team named the Sheep? That's not what you name a ball team. You call them the Bulldogs or the Lions, not the Sheep. But beloved, you and I are sheep and lambs. But thank God, we have a wonderful shepherd, a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I love that. He takes responsibility for us. And because of that, I shall not want. It's not that life doesn't have a lot of problems and trials. It does. But if he's my shepherd, I can lean on him and trust in him. And can say, I shall not want. Now, the flesh wants all the time. The flesh can never be content with anything. But in the spiritual realm, we can say, I shall not want. I'm satisfied with my Savior and his provisions for me on a daily basis. There's no greater blessing in life, beloved, than to have a contented mind. And the more you and I can focus on our shepherd, the more we can say, I shall not want. You know, the Bible says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And I believe that. But I want to tell you, keeping our mind stayed on him is hard work. You've got to work at it. You've got to keep on. Now, a meeting like we've been in this weekend really helps to keep our mind stayed on the Lord, does me. But, you know, day by day, we have all the activities of life, the responsibilities of life, the interruptions of life. And first news you know, we've forgotten him. We've got to work at it to keep our mind stayed on the Lord. It's a hard job. Spiritually. I believe keeping our mind stayed on God is just as hard spiritually as picking cotton is physically. How many of y'all ever picked any cotton? I imagine Brother Wayne picked some. Brother Dan, maybe. That's hard work. Pulling corn, picking cotton. Physically, that's hard. You have to work at it. But spiritually, to keep your mind stayed on God, you've got to work at it. You've got to be focused on it. You've got to probably write you some notes. A while back, I wrote on a little magic marker in our house a verse from this psalm, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And I can tell you that helped me every morning when I go get a cup of coffee to look at that. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That helped me to keep my mind stayed on my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He takes responsibility for us. And so let's just try to stay as close to the shepherd as we can get. And when we say, "I shall not want," that's not saying life is easy. Life is not easy. But we've got a wonderful shepherd that is providing for us on a daily basis. Now let's look at verse 2. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know, the doctrine of absolutism bothered our people for a long time and still does in some places. And the doctrine of absolutism teaches that everything that happens on this earth, God absolutely predestinated it to come to pass. God predestinated everything you've done today and everything you've done your whole lifetime. Now, we don't believe that. We believe God has given us a mind to think with and to make choices with. Not to choose to be born again. That's a sovereign work of God. But a lot of what we do in this life, beloved, is based on our choices. But one verse that would be used to prove absolute predestination was this one: "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." In other words, God makes you lie down. You have to lie down. You know, if you've encountered false teaching, you've encountered a lot of verses that have been misapplied or twisted or wrested. Well, that one was certainly twisting that verse. Here's how he makes us lie down in green. He gives us green pastures and still waters. Now let me tell you, when you give a flock of sheep green pastures and you give them still waters, they're going to lie down in comfort. They're going to be satisfied. That's how he makes us to lie down. And our God in heaven does provide for us spiritually green pastures and still waters to enjoy on our journey through this world. And so we rejoice in that fact today. He gives us peace. That's, you know, when sheep lie down, you know they're at peace. They're not fretting. They're not worrying. They're not looking around for every enemy. They're content and they're lying down. How many of y'all can enjoy that? Just say tonight when you go home, you can just lie down. I think Dan told us in the communion service that, you know, when he was young and before he knew the truth, he was worried about hell. Y'all remember him telling that Thursday night? But he said, "Ever since I found out that Jesus Christ paid my sin debt, I hadn't worried about that a bit." And he said, "I'm going home tonight and going to sleep." How many of y'all can sleep and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, our Lord? There's nothing like it in all this world. I was talking to a young couple recently, and we were going over the doctrine of grace, and they really were not too familiar with what we believed. And this young lady said, Pastor, and she had a Bible, and I mean it was marked up. I mean, from cover to cover, she had it highlighted in green and yellow and blue markers, and she had a lot of verses lined up. It was obvious she'd spent a lot of time in her Bible, and she loved the Lord, and she enjoyed discussing Scripture. But she finally said, "But I can tell you, Pastor, I worry a lot about maybe I'm not a child of God. And her friend, her boyfriend, really blessed me when he spoke up and said, well, listen, you wouldn't be feeling that way if you weren't a child of God. You know, that let me know he's getting some light. Anybody who's worried about not being a child of God, not going to heaven, that's evidence that the Spirit has already worked in their hearts. Would y'all agree with that? People out in the world dead in sin don't give it a second thought. But I want to tell you, I appreciated that young man telling his friend, his girlfriend, listen, you wouldn't be worried about all that if you weren't one. You're his child. Now, he's getting some light. I hope he holds on to it. Light in the Scriptures is a wonderful thing, isn't it? To have some light and some understanding. Now, let's look at verse 3 here. He restoreth my soul. Now listen, beloved, that tells me that children of God sometimes in this life get cast down. All of us in this life are going to have moments when we are cast down for one reason or another. Maybe it's a medical problem we're having or a financial situation, or it could be many other things that could cause us to be cast down. A lot of people have problems, in their brain chemistry that causes them to struggle with depression. But I'm glad to tell you this evening that the shepherd can restore us. He restoreth my soul. That's a wonderful thought. See, when a sheep with all that wool falls over, they can't get up. They can't jump up like a goat or a dog or a cat. When they fall over, they just got to lay there until the shepherd comes and turns them upside. I want to tell you, our shepherd comes and lifts us up when we're cast down. And you and I just need to stay as close to the shepherd as we can get, because we're going to need him all the time, aren't we? Amen. And so, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Beloved, if you and I ever get into anything that's not righteous, let's not blame it on the shepherd, because he leads us in the paths of what? In the paths of righteousness. And why does he do that? For his name's sake. I think I got a little light on that recently. I want to say this about that. Why would it be for his name's sake that he leads us in the paths of righteousness? Well, I want to tell you, beloved, his reputation, God's reputation, to a great extent, rests on those who have professed his name. When you were baptized, what name were you baptized in? You weren't baptized in the name of Muhammad or Allah. You weren't baptized in your parents' name. When we were baptized, if we got a proper scriptural baptism, we were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now we bear that name wherever we go. When a young lady marries a young man, she takes on his name. And where she goes and how she conducts herself is a reflection on her husband, because she bears his name. You and I bear the name of Jesus tonight. And if we go out in this world and misbehave or use profanity or do things that are shameful, it's an awful reflection on the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want us all to remember we bear his name. You know, Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, and I may just turn to that a moment. Let's notice in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? see your good works, and then what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Did y'all see that? Listen to that. He said, let your light so shine. Don't put it under a bushel or under the bed. Let it shine. I like that song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's a little light, but I'm going to let it shine. And why? Listen, that they may see your good works. And what are good works? Well, the Bible gives us a long list of good works that we're to be involved in. And when we're doing good works, it glorifies us? No, it glorifies our Father in heaven. Anytime you see a human being doing good works, you know God's grace has enabled them to do it. God gets the glory, right? Because if left to ourselves, we wouldn't be doing good works. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, beloved, I tell you honestly, I would far rather be dead and in my grave than to do things that are going to dishonor the name of the one that loved me and died for me on the cross. How about y'all? Don't you want to honor him and be a good reflection on that name which is above every name? And so he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk, not camp, we don't camp in the valley of the shadow, we don't crawl through the shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. See, this psalm deals with life's problems. It deals with lack. It deals with fear. It deals with our enemies. It deals with darkness. It deals with death. This psalm is this deals with reality. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I've got all these good works that are going to get me into heaven? No. Because I got a lot of money in the bank? Rich people can do a lot of good with their money, but I can tell you what, it's not going to keep them out of death. He said, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's what keeps us from fearing. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, the rod is used by the shepherd to drive away the enemy, the wolves, the bears, the lions. And they're always after the sheep. All those predatory animals are after them. And I want to tell you tonight, you and I have got a lot of enemies. I mean, Satan and the world and the flesh is always after every one of us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod drives the enemy away and protects us, and the staff guides us and directs us the way to go. You know, it's wonderful to hear Brother Ronald talk about how the Lord opened the way for them to move, to sell their house in Nashville so quick, and to get a house in Georgia. You know, God is able to do all that. But if you got a house for sale and it takes 6 months, that doesn't mean God isn't in it. That just means God is letting the process work out. Life can be very hard. I thought he mentioned today that I told him I've moved 20 times. They've only moved 8. Brother Ronald's been on Easy Street that way. 20 times. I have sold houses in about 3 days, and I have tried to sell them for 6 months. Life, you don't ever know how life is going to go. But the thing is, the Lord is with us. And we want to be in His way. We want to be directed by Him in this life. And so He would say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I tell you, that's a comfort you can't get at the drugstore or the liquor store. It's a comfort that words cannot describe. Now let's look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In other words, We heard two great sermons this week on David. And we see how God provided a table for David in the presence of his enemies. His enemies had to sit there and watch him being blessed. Are y'all with me? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You may have enemies, but if you're under God's favor, they're just going to have to sit there and watch God bless you. Are y'all listening? He's a good God, isn't he? He takes care of us. I never read that, but what I think of this, forgive my folly, but this little girl had misbehaved at the table. And my daddy would never allow that. Now, when we got to the table, we all had to act like we love one another. I remember one time I misbehaved and daddy reached over and turned my plate upside down before the blessing. Now, you can't eat on a plate that's upside down. Daddy wanted us to behave at the table. Well, this little girl had misbehaved, and so her mother fixed her a plate and put it over there on the child's table. And they heard her praying, and she said, Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, it is true, brethren and sisters. There are if you're living like you ought to, there are going to be people that are not going to honor you and respect you. They're enemies. But God can provide for you. How many of y'all believe that? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. They're just going to have to sit there and watch me enjoy the blessings of God. Thou anointest my head with oil. And I believe that's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God anointing us. And I tell you, the Spirit of God, we need the Holy Spirit always. The Holy Spirit has been around always. It's part of the Trinity. It was present there in the morning of time when there was darkness on the earth. And the Holy Spirit hovered over the darkness. The Holy Spirit was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus when he was baptized by John and came down in the form of a dove and lit upon his shoulder. He was anointed. Jesus Christ was, he was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. And you and I can be anointed with the Holy Spirit if we don't grieve the Spirit. We need the Spirit. I need the Spirit. The Spirit helps us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And so he anoints my head with oil. My cup is almost dry. No, the truth is our cups are running over. The saucer's full. Isn't that true? I appreciated Brother Wynn's testimony yesterday after his seizure. He came in and introduced the service for Brother John and talked about everything's okay. I like that. That's a Christian attitude. My cup is running over. That's what David said. And listen, if y'all were listening today and yesterday, you know David had a lot of trouble in his life. Brother, he had a lot of trouble. But he could still say, my cup runneth over. I love that. And then, surely goodness and mercy. I'm glad he didn't say maybe goodness and mercy. Did y'all hear that? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'll tell you another story I think of every time I read that verse. This elderly sister in the church was beginning to have a feeble mind, and she was imagining things that were not real. She was hallucinating and living in fear, and she went to her pastor and told him, she said, Pastor, these two men are following me everywhere I go, to the grocery store, wherever I go. They're right there, and I'm scared of them. and I'm afraid they're going to try to harm me or rob me in some way. And the pastor knew that her mind was getting feeble. And so he said, well, I want to tell you who those two people are. That's goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. She said, well, that makes me feel better. Well, I want to tell y'all, goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life, and he's going to follow you all and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you all for your good attention tonight.